Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy on October 1st, 2020. I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
Okay, and there was a pause there. I was afraid I was going to have to, like, tell you, you're supposed to say something here. Okay, there. Now I gave my own pause to make up for it. Anyway, this is our podcast, Toonami Therapy, where we talk about some of the anime we've been watching, some of which actually airs on Toonami. But before we do anything, I happen to see a headline, and it's important enough, I think everyone should be aware of it. Ireland's Supreme Court rules Subway sandwiches have too much sugar to meet legal definition of bread. All right, I'm glad we've gotten that cleared up.
Okay.
All right. So, now that we've our long national nightmare has been over and we know that, I guess we can just get into the stuff now. So we start with JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Golden Wind episode 34. Or is it 35? This is 35. I'm sorry, I got the number wrong. Okay. So they So they're trying to figure out where Diavolo is, because they do know that now Bucciarati is in his body. But it's not in Bucciarati's body, because Trish couldn't sense it or whatever. Neurontia gives a big happy thing about, I can't wait to do all the things that I've been wanting to do once this is over, which unfortunately results in him getting killed.
Yep.
Don't say that until the series is actually over. Maybe not even then. All right. So let's see. So yeah, so it's someplace else, and they're trying to figure out who he is. Because he's trying to get to the, he's trying to get the arrow, and basically they are, fighting over, that, and, I can't remember exactly how this, episode ends, though, offhand, for some reason.
They were just kind of, like, talking to each other, and then, all of a sudden, they think, what if Bucciarati or someone's not in that body, I think. It was something like that.
It's weird. I'm usually so good at remembering these things. Mm-hmm. Let me just, because I'm looking at the I'm looking literally at the episode description, and yet I'm looking at the end and I'm like, was that where the episode ended? I feel like there was something different, but that was the main thing. We get all that stuff established. The reason we know Diavolo isn't in that body, that was that Doppio guy instead. And I was remembering that, but what I'm trying to remember is whether they actually found out, because I feel like, did they find out where Diavolo was, or did they not find out yet? No, they haven't yet, I don't think. That's why I'm that's why I was confused, because I thought they did, but I don't think they did. So the important thing is that Neurontia gets killed, Giorno gets back into his own body somehow. Mm-hmm. Because he's able to heal it, but Neurontia is already dead, so his soul isn't there, something. And then they're off to try to find Diavolo. Okay, now I got all of it. Right. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, but the fact that I'm actually having trouble remembering some parts of it is an indication that I probably didn't like it as much as the last few.
Yeah, that's the same way I feel. Like, I think the Narancia death was kind of cheap. And I also thought it was stupid that Giorno gets to go back in his body just because. And it felt like an excuse to get Jojo into Jojo, back into Jojo's body for Jojo's Bizarre Adventure. Hmm. And it was like, well, why did he get it? That didn't make any sense. They never explained that. That was bad. But yeah. I thought it was a pretty good episode on the whole. And you know, that's the thing about A Golden Wind. It started out slow, but it's gotten better as it's gone along. Whereas Diamond is Unbreakable was the opposite. So I'd always rather something get better near the end. But to be fair, I have to keep watching it to that point. So it has to be good enough that I don't drop it. So Jojo has managed to do that, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, the other problem, of course, is if something doesn't have a great start, you might lose interest and not get to the good part. Sometimes you can tell because everyone always says, oh, it's good, keep going. Except then, of course, you're always wondering, well, what if people say that and then I keep going and I don't like it? I remember I've seen some people say, everyone said it gets better and I watched it and it really doesn't. I'm not referring to anything in particular here. And I'll always forget like the part where someone I can't remember what Final Fantasy game this was. I think it was 13 or 15 where I saw a bunch of people say, well, it starts out bad, but about 20 hours into the game, it gets really good. I can't remember which one. I just know that was something of several people said. So you sometimes with a certain level of irony and self-awareness, admittedly, about one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, so we got JoJo. Then we're on to Assassination Classroom, Episode 5. So, one of the characters, well, basically this episode is kind of two things, plots put into one, because the first one is just this thing about how one of the kids is interested in chemistry and tries to make a poison, to hit Koro-sensei with, which doesn't work, so Koro-sensei says, I'll help you out, but then, of course, doesn't actually, just makes it so that it's something that makes, him, stronger instead. But they learn, something from it. The other part is something that we've kind of been implied before, but never, I don't think, was quite as explicitly stated in this episode. So the main characters are all in Class 3E, which is basically where the school they're at dumps anyone who doesn't get good enough grades or is somehow otherwise undesirable, with basically the idea that if they're treated really badly and no one wants to end up there, everyone will work really hard to train, to study harder and such. So, we basically get that... stuff happens, but it's mostly just to establish that fact that's in the second half of the episode. I mean, you know, there's some funny stuff along the way, but mostly that's kind of the point.
Right. So, that episode was all right, I guess. The poison thing was, I didn't really, it was like, why would he ever help her with the poison if he was going to make it bad to himself? That was like kind of obvious that he was going to use it
to help himself out.
So.
To teach a lesson regarding communication or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so, unfortunately not too much else to really say about that one. Then we got Black Clover, episode 133. So basically, so they go into the thing because they're looking for a magic item. There's a bunch of stuff that happens, and they end up, but they end up not actually getting it. So so yeah, really, it's just an episode. I mean, it was kind of enjoyable, but I can't really think of too much else to say about it.
Yeah, yeah, it was a little funny, but also just kind of, you know, just fillery.
I mean, I know, like I've said, this is covering stuff that was supposed to happen, but happened off screen. But you just know the anime is like, well, you know, maybe this was a minor thing, but we're going to make it longer and bigger, especially the longer part.
Yeah. Padding it out.
I mean, they are close. They are quite close to where the manga is. So they had to do something like this. And I guess, for some reason, just saying, you know, hey, we'll just do it seasonal. We'll take a break. We'll be back next year is not an option for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at least it's not complete and utter filler. It's just only, like, it's filler, but with enough stuff in it that's actually important to make it so that it doesn't feel as completely pointless as filler usually does. It only feels mostly pointless.
Yeah.
All right, so that's our Toonami stuff. Then we'll move on to our next stuff, which is... So we come to ReZero episode 38. End of this first half of the season. We're going on hiatus till January. Unfortunately, it's not really that great of a place to cut off the halfway in the season.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they really had a choice. This wasn't like Attack on Titan, where there was a very clear part where you could split the third season in the middle. Here, it's just like they planned for one big arc for the season, and then they found out, I guess we'll have to split it up. So they just, yeah. So basically,
yep.
So Subaru meets Satella, and Satella is weird. Her? She just mumbles some weird stuff about loving him or whatever. So, like, what does she actually want? What is her personality? Is she just kind of crazy? Subaru decides, well, I guess I'll just kill myself to reset or something, but then he gets stopped. And he again, like, decides, I don't think I'll go with that contract with you. So he comes back, and then he goes to talk to Roswell again. How many times has this happened? But here we actually do find out something important, which is this time Roswell tells him that the assassins that were sent to the mansion were actually hired by him. And when he revealed that, there were two things that were crossing my mind. The first was, who, what, when, where, why? Which I actually said out loud, and someone said, what is it? I said, oh, there's just a plot twist in this thing I was watching. So that took me by surprise. The other thing that came to my mind is, I have no idea why, but it did, and it is, the Spanish word for size is tamaño. I don't know why that came up. It came into my mind, but it did. The weirdness of my mind aside, so we get that, and he says that the reason he did it is because he was trying to set it up so Subaru would have to choose between the things, and to prove to him that you would need to, like, choose something above others or something like that. So we get that. That was a very big twist. And then Subaru's like, not sure what I'm, so Subaru ends up meeting Otto, who, like, you know, talks to him and kind of, and actually kind of snaps Subaru out of some depression by hitting him. And for, I think, the third time this arc, Subaru's like, all right, I'm motivated. I'm going to figure this out, and manage to solve every thing now.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like I said, is like the third time he's done that.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's basically where this ends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I wasn't very impressed by it. In fact, I joked on Twitter that the only way this second season could have been worse is if Subaru had sat on a folding chair while everyone told him congratulations. Yeah, just I did not like this second season at all. So I know there's still more to go, but the whole thing of Roswell being the guy who set up all this stuff kind of isn't surprising to me. I just did not like this at all.
I thought it was actually a pretty good twist. I didn't really see... I mean, I always was thinking that there's something weird about him, but I was not expecting, oh, well, I get he actually did the hiring. Although, it's not clear how much, if anything at all, he was behind the stuff in the past. That's what I'm wondering. Was Elsa the first time around have anything to do with him, or was it, I don't think it would have been, him, because he, unless he already knew Subaru was going to be around. I mean, he did have that book that could, like, tell the future, kind of, I think, so maybe. Unfortunately, this is going to make, going back to Isekai Quartet feel kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I thought it was a very effective twist, as evidenced by the fact it actually made me express my surprise out loud, and I had to explain to someone why I was doing it. But ultimately the problem is, I mean, I know you can, I guess ReZero is by its nature kind of a repetitive show, but it just feels like this season has been more of that than before. It just seems like we keep having Subaru, like, you know, going to despair and then get up and go, all right, now I'm over it. I'm going to figure out and do stuff. And then, you know, and then we end up going through it again and again. Like when, the arc that ended the first season, sure, he had that big scene of that where he just, like, you know, it's like, well, where he, you know, after he, like, does do that thing where he's like, okay, I need to stop feeling sorry for myself and figure this out. But then that was that. You didn't have to go through it, like, again and again. I mean, you had to go through him dying again and again, but not that specific thing again and again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just very unfortunate the season had to be cut like this, because it's just such an awkward place to pause at. I don't think it's just such a, like, awkward place, and unfortunately that's to its major detriment.
Mm-hmm.
I could try to, like, summarize my thoughts on the season, but it feels wrong because it's not even complete. And it's not like this was something that was, you know, planned or made sense. It's just it was kind of forced on them due to, you know, COVID and such. So I'll probably have a better analysis for it when we actually see the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now that we've got finished with ReZero, we'll move on to two episodes of Tales of the Abyss, episodes 17 and 18. So Let's see. They go, let's see. Yeah, they go on and basically, are to continue the plan to try to do the techno babble to stop the bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They run into, Van, again, and hang on, I'm just trying to double check. Okay. I always double checking what I was talking about was in the first episode. Again, and kind of have a, we sort of, an Ash, fights him. And, the part where Natalia, they don't like say, because it's, you know, Japanese, they don't go like Ash, they say like Ashu. And, seriously, when Natalia calls out to him, she goes, Ashu, I thought it sounded like she said Achu. Like, there's a one point where she does it, and I was like, oh, wow, that sounds like Achu. So, anyway, the big, after that, they end, fighting off, Arietta, that girl with the guns, who continually, also that girl with the guns, and, that other character whose name I can't remember. Arietta's the only one of those names I can remember, actually. And that's only because Anise kept calling her Gloomietta, so that made me, like, make sure I knew what her actual name was.
Yeah.
So they fight, and Jade makes an avalanche that conveniently beats all the enemies, and then they go in to do the techno babble, but it ends up turning out to be counter techno babble. It actually makes things worse. That was the first episode. I was actually kind of curious because I was, when they go up against the three and they just, you know, fight a small bit and then Jade causes the avalanche, I was thinking, well, I assume this was a boss fight in the game. How did that turn out? So I looked it up and watched it. And yeah, this is an actual boss fight in the game. You actually fight the three. And the random soldiers weren't in the game, apparently. And then after the fight, after you beat them, then the avalanche happened. Jade didn't cause it in the game. It just happened after the fight and then took took them all out after you had beaten them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't, it just kind of, the way the anime played it, and maybe this was a necessity, it's just like, oh, wow, so they're up against these three villains who have been built up, and oh, they just beat them all with an avalanche. Okay. You want to move on to the next one then? Next episode?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me see. All right, so we got episode 18. They end up going to do the techno babble right this time. They find a Van and they fight in another thing that was a boss battle, but unfortunately comes across as kind of underwhelming in the anime. But he just kills himself by fault. Off the platform. There's how many episodes left? He's probably not dead. But anyway, that apparently solve, and they're able to solve everything. Everything is great. It all starts acting like, you know, like, and then it turns into some sort of epilogue, basically. And you're wondering, oh, what are those last five or six episodes going to be about? But then they find out that Van's sword went missing. So maybe one of the bad guys is still around. So they decide, we're going to investigate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was really confused by how this ended because I was like, so is that like the end of the game? You know, like whenever you're, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know.
Yeah, what I was wondering, like, is like, Was that like the end, and then now the rest of the anime is stuff that happens afterwards, you know? That's what I was wondering. Because that's kind of how it seems. You know, Pokemon is all about that. You beat the game, but then all of a sudden you've got all this after credits stuff you got to do. So I was a little confused by that. I don't know the answer to that.
So I know there's more because I was looking up something in the game because I was trying to look up the stuff about like boss fights and stuff, and I inadvertently spoiled myself on something that happened later in the game. The good news is that it happens next episode, so it's not something that I'm going to be sitting on for too long. So there is definitely that. And also, I'm just glancing at the Wikipedia summary for the game. I made sure not to read into it, but I just like looked at, okay, so this is what happened. They defeat Van, who falls into it. Okay, well, there's two more paragraphs left in the plot summary. So presumably there is more. This was not the end of the game. It does feel, though, like this might have been worked a little. This might have felt more like it done a better job tricking you into thinking it was the ending in the game. Because with the anime, you're like, oh, there's like, what, 6 episodes left? 8 episodes? Something like that? Where if the game is just like, well, this could be the end. Oh, I guess it isn't.
Yeah. That was really awkward. I mean, that's why I didn't like it this week as much, because I felt like this was just it was too easy, and then it was like then, okay, everyone went back home. All of a sudden, just like that, it was like what?
Well,
that wasn't very good.
Well, I was looking at like this thing at the guy, and it mentions that Van, you know, the boss. He said, "Oh, he's a really hard boss," and I'm just like, "Well, you wouldn't know that from watching the anime." I think that might be it's to be fair, it's something that's kind of hard to avoid having the problem with when adapting a video game to an anime, like especially the RPGs. Then again, there's not really much other than RPGs that would really warrant much of an adaptation to an anime. I mean there's some other things, but whatever. But the thing is, when you set up villains and then they're epic boss fights, that's how like you get, like they're set up and you're like, oh, I want to beat this guy, and then you fight them and then you manage to win through the boss fight, and the game can, of course, you know, make those feel epic and really cool and stuff. But then you get to the anime and it's much harder to do, because it's not a game. And in the game, it's all just a matter of, you know, choosing, like, you know, hitting the attack buttons and all that kind of stuff. And there's, like, strategy, but you can't really map that onto an anime. So you basically, and since there's not really much to work with, you know, like, you look at, like, you joke about, like, how convoluted the fight scene, say, like, Bleach could be. But, you know, there was, like, back and forth and strategies and stuff. And you can't really... And you kind of basically, if you want to do that sort of thing for an adaptation of a game, you have to basically make it all up.
Yeah.
So you can either just try to make it all up, or you can just kind of have, okay, they fought for a bit, and then the characters managed to win, which is kind of what the anime has been doing, and unfortunately it's made a bunch of those things feel just very anti-climactic. It starts to make me worry, because I've been really looking forward to the anime of The World Ends With You, and I was thinking, uh-oh, is that going to be a problem here? Are the boss fights going to, unfortunately, are like the big villains going to unfortunately kind of feel like this sort of disappointing thing in the anime, because you can't really do them justice the way you did in the games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, they do have, but yeah, so this is basically the fake out ending, which did feel rather abrupt, in all honesty.
Well, yeah, it does, especially if if you know, we expect there's going to be some sort of romantic angle between Tyr and Luke, and it's just like, oh, she just went back to her homeland. It's like, what? Yeah, that was.
Are you there? Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. You went silent. I wasn't sure if there was a problem or if you had just, or if you just stopped talking. Okay. So, but yeah, it's not even that the problem. Okay. So obviously things not being that sort of, those sort of things not being resolved makes total sense because it's not the actual ending. My bigger problem is the fact that, even for the fake ending, it feels kind of rushed. But again, I'm looking at it and I'm just thinking, like, maybe that's just a necessary consequence of adapting it from the game. But unfortunately, that doesn't... I'm saying, just because a problem wasn't necessarily avoidable doesn't mean that it's not a problem to my enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we got Tales of the Abyss. Then we are on to... Ghost in the Shell, episode 29. So, basically, our main section 9 gets hired to basically do security work for this company to try to help because they've got like some hacker problems that have been breaking into their stuff. And so then they do it, even though it doesn't seem like they really like it. But then it turns out that the whole thing was actually, they were behind all the whole thing. And the whole thing was just a ruse to get the guy to open up the vault for them so they could then see if he's been involved in, if he's got, like, these bills that were, I can't remember if they were stolen from someplace or a counterfeit or whatever. There's something bad about them. And then they do, and then they manage it, and that's basically the episode.
Yeah, this actually was the episode I watched by accident whenever we first went to watch it, and you watched what was actually on TV, and I watched season 2 for some reason. I don't know how it happened. Hmm. I bet it was just on the site, and I just saw, okay, see, episode 3, I just clicked on it, and it was the second season. So I had already seen this episode before, and I was like, yeah, I remember all this. And I thought it was pretty interesting. I did actually, to be honest, this is probably the best thing of the week, but the fact that I had already seen it, it was like, oh, you know, I wish, you know, I had some more surprise about it, but yeah. So yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, my I had seen it before also, but I had forgotten most about it because it had been quite a while ago. The biggest issue I had was the fact that it's that the hacker character is so obviously the Major. Like, not only is that an obvious to the audience, which already kind of gives it away, but to be fair, maybe we were supposed to know it. I just don't get how the guy at the company doesn't figure it out. Because he's literally talking with the Major. He's like up close with her. How does he not see, oh, wow, this person, she's got the same hair color as the hacker, the same basic hairstyle as her. They're also both sort of prosthetic bodies. How does it not occur to him? Why didn't she, like, you know, do more of a disguise, like at least, like, you know, doing something to, like, make her hair a different color at least?
Yeah.
That was my biggest problem. Other than that, it was pretty good. I did like the part where the Tachikomas, where one of them is like saying, so are those guys what they hang on, I can't remember exactly, but I wrote it down. It was something like, are these the guys they call perverts? And the other said, yeah, but maybe we ought to call them eccentric instead. That was a funny description. I also am, because it did, what I am confused about is why, because part of the plot was that the Major makes it look like she's gone into the vault, but hasn't actually, because the Tachikoma hacked the thing to make it look like she did on the video, but then she didn't, like, actually tell her the people she was working with about it. Ibato even says, well, why didn't you tell us? And then she doesn't really answer. So you're left wondering, why didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess I'm kind of nitpicking at that point. It was for a simple standalone episode. It was pretty enjoyable, you know?
Yep. Yep.
All right. So, So that was Ghost in the Shell episode 29. Then we come to Attack on Titan episode 51. So the armored Titan has revealed himself, and we've also got all those other Titans blocking their escape route, so they got to take them on and finish them. So Eren ends up fighting the armored Titan again. And, yeah, it's a lot like that time where they fought in Titan form, before in the second, season, which actually might have been my favorite episode of the series. This one isn't quite that good, but I still thought it was fun to watch them, even though I'm just reminded, the joke people make is that Attack on Titan in things like this basically becomes, you know, mech combat.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we get that then we also find out that Hanji invented this thing called thunder spears. There actually is I did like the little exchange where Eren calls it a rod and she like tells, no, you idiot, it's a spear. See how it's pointy?
Mm-hmm.
Hanji just makes everything better. Anyway, they man, it's the super weapon that they're able to use against that they developed to try to beat the armored Titan with, and they are actually able to, when they get close enough to him, use it to deal some real damage. Then the episode ends with them launching more volleys of it at him. So yeah, I thought it was a pretty fun episode.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Definitely better than the last one.
Yeah. I mean, I still have the same problems with, you know, Mikasa being a one-note character and Armin being a one-note character and Eren being a one-note character. But I thought it was some pretty good combat, and I wish the series made me care about the characters more, but I'm interested to see how Reiner survives like 20 nuclear missiles. What they look like, you know, that's what they look like. 20 nuclear missiles being fired at him at the same time. Mm-hmm. He survives that. That would be nuts.
Oh, one thing I did forget to mention. One other thing is that because this arc does focus a bunch on Commander Erevin, it's like they suddenly realize, oh wait, this arc's going to focus on him. We haven't gotten that much development. Quick, give him a big flashback. And it's all about yeah. How him joining the Corps and all this other and all the people who died along the way and stuff. So we get it just like is so inserted as if they're like saying, oh wait, he's getting focused now, we better get some backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't we put this in a spinoff like we did with Levi?
Yeah,
it was a short run, but there was a spinoff manga series that went over some of his backstory and him joining the Corps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, so I thought it was pretty fun. I'm getting back to remembering why I really liked this part of the series. So yeah, I mean, I'll admit I like the characters more than you do, but I will admit, you know, it's not the greatest series at giving me characters to really enjoy. But I mean, I still enjoyed like the action, the plot's fun. I like it.
Okay. So that's all our stuff for the week.
Yep, that's all of our stuff. I guess we can get into our usual top three rankings.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
You want me to go first or you?
You can go first. You started.
Okay. Let's see. Third place this week, I'll put Tales of the Abyss. It wasn't as good this week. I was a little distracted today. Today wasn't the best of days, so I was trying to catch up on all my watching, and it was a mess. Number two was Attack on Titan. That got me to pay attention, even though I was having so many distractions. And number one, surprisingly, for the week is Ghost in the Shell. I remember liking that episode the first time I saw it, and I like it again now. I'm glad we did go back to that because that's actually worth it. Of course, now that we went back to it, what's going to happen is that Adult Swim's going to put it back on the air, and then I'm just joking. I don't know. So,
yeah. I mean, if they put the bigger worry I have than putting them back on the air is they'll decide, oh, well, we'll just not have them on the site anymore. We'll take them down. I don't think they will, but yeah. Yeah, that's my top three is actually those, but just in a different order. For third, I would put it's not the top three. I was missing one. For third, I would put in despite its deficiencies, it would be ReZero, just because I don't know, that thing with Roswell just was so shocking to me that despite the other problems of the episode, I feel like I have to put it there in order for that. Then I would put Tales of the Abyss. And then I would put Attack on Titan in first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I on other weeks or what might have been stuff higher than that would have placed some of those. But JoJo was not that great in retrospect. Assassination Classroom was kind of okay, and Black Clover was even if it was more substantive filler than normal, it was still filler, and it's hard for filler to really get outside of like pure comedy filler. I can't remember any time I looked at like a filler episode and was thinking, yeah, I thought that was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. The Shadow Clones going on strike was probably the last time I thought that.
And even that one was more, well, was more ironically enjoying it. The last time there's a filler episode and I was like, this is really good and not in an ironic way, would have probably been, oh, and this is going back so far, that actually there might have been some funny Bleach ones I'm overlooking. But the one that I actually really remember was that old Naruto episode where they're trying to see what Kakashi looks like without his mask, and they keep getting comically thwarted.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's going way back. That was before the time skip.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he's just like, well, what's under my mask? It's another mask!
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's been Toonami Therapy at your service. You can find our episodes on toonamitherapy.podbean.com. Next week we'll be back with the usual setup, except we won't be covering ReZero anymore because it won't be airing. We're not going to be replacing it with anything. We were kind of finding five shows a little much to keep up with, so we're just going to let that drop off, and we'll continue with the current shows that we've that we're watching with the current schedule. And yeah, so that would be it for those things. So did you have anything else to say?
No, I don't really.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I didn't cut you off before anything. So yeah, we'll see you next week.
Okay, bye-nee.